Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Elon Musk impersonator Alex, who, if you recall, we played you some of his work over the last 2 weeks on this show. So we will have kind of a, I don't want to call it an interview,
yeah,
but it will be more of like a conversation, a roundtable.
Yes.
With Trump and Elon Musk tomorrow on the show.
Will you be playing the part of Hannity?
Yes, except I will actually just give a very brief question and get the hell out of the way. And I will not, make it about me.
Yeah.
Like Sean Hannity likes to do. And then, of course, Bruno on Wednesday. We're going to have Sean Farris, I believe, on Thursday for his normal spot up a day earlier. And then I believe a comedian lined up possibly for Friday.
I believe Paul Mercurio will be on the program on a Friday.
How about that? So yeah. There we go. Some good stuff. I'm looking forward to that. All right. We're going to get to two stories after the news. I want to get to this Donald Trump Jr. story, which I thought was fascinating, because I do think we will eventually have that conversation on a more serious level as you move forward here in the next couple of years. But I thought his comments were interesting in response. And it all stems from the way Trump responded to Bret Baier when asked about J.D. Vance's future as a possible presidential candidate. So we'll get to that. And then also violence in high school athletics and also recreational sports. Where do you hear this story emanating from South Jersey over a flag football tournament? We'll get to that coming up shortly, but let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:03, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live. This Monday morning, March the 10th, 40 degrees, but we will be heating up well into the 60s today. We are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America. So I'll call this one the alleged creep of the week. Locally, family counselor who works in Bucks and Berks counties arrested after officials in Bucks, DA Jen Shorn's office, say they found evidence that this guy installed a spy camera to secretly record patients, some of them apparently young women. I don't know if they're underage, but we know some of them young women patients or young females, and then staffers who were in the bathroom, particularly on the toilet at his Quakertown office. They continue to investigate. Were there other victims at his other offices? So this guy is identified as 54-year-old Jonathan Elliott, charged with 9 criminal counts related to the surreptitious recordings. This is according to the Bucks County DA's office. He worked as the program director at, quote, Empower Life Coaching and Counseling. And so people are going there for life coaching, for also counseling. And it offers counseling services to individuals, families, and children between its two offices in Bally and Quakertown.
So these are people already that have shown and expressed a vulnerability to you, the professional, and you try to, in a perverted way.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
We have to say alleged.
Yeah.
Because everybody's innocent until proven possibly otherwise, right?
Absolutely.
We're all saying that. But yeah, you're right, Nick. I mean, so, and keep in mind that a lot of these counselors, professional counselors, just for example, under the school system, let's say your kid goes to the school counselor and they're having any kinds of issues going on, self-harm issues, psychological issues. Immediately, the protocol is that they are required to go to, you know, they look up their list of local counselors, somebody who works with kids. And so that's part of it. And
right.
So were there schools recommending this guy, which to no fault of their own, he's not on any, you know, it just shows you, you know, the vulnerability, like you said, the word vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great word, whether they're adults or whether they're children. There's a lot of concern from the Bucks County District Attorney, Jennifer Shorn. Remember, she has that specialty unit. They're very good at this. And so thank God they found this out. They had a tip call. They went in. They did the search warrants and they continue to do diligence. So We'll find out more as this thing unravels.
You said this was Quakertown, correct?
Yes, but he has multiple offices across the region, Nick.
Okay.
So that's a piece of this. The question, it's Bucks and Berks counties.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we want to watch this very carefully. Also, we've been talking this morning as we have 5 people hospitalized as officials locally and obviously at the federal level investigating what went wrong with that small plane going down right near a retirement village. This is Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, making national news. The 5 passengers on board rushed to the local hospitals. Nobody on the ground was hurt. an unbelievable fiery scene. According to the FAA, they're still investigating what went wrong. NTSB also there monitoring and investigating, but thick black smoke and these huge amount of flames filling the air after this Beechcraft Bonanza smaller plane took off from Lancaster Airport. And we know that the pilot had radioed something was wrong. I don't know if the door blew off or the door wouldn't shut. Whatever was going on there with that small aircraft, he had to essentially, he was heading back to the airport shortly after takeoff, but couldn't even make it back to the runway. So it was not an issue with air traffic control, according to the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the issue. They cleared a landing for him if he could make it back to the runway, almost made it back, maybe by a minute or so short, but crash landed, saw this opportunity in a parking lot of a nursing home, basically, and was able to land there as opposed to any kind of a housing situation.
Mm-hmm. Just to add something different for round two, because I know we had this in the first round of the news. And Stocker, I know you mentioned the one that happened a few weeks ago, or I guess it's now over a month ago in Philadelphia, and you thought there might have been nefarious activity. Is it possible? Because, I mean, you know, if we're ruling out FAA, if it's not commercial, we're not talking DEI. Are we at the point now where there's just a lot of people that might not be paying fully attention, just like in a car accident where you didn't do everything you were supposed to stay alert and aware?
I think there's two separate things happening with those small Cessnas. I think a lot of people fly those that really shouldn't be flying them, and that's why you have those kind of issues. With the thing that happened here in Philly in the Northeast, that was a chartered flight by experienced pilots. Mm-hmm. So
which one? The one locally that happened that was deadly?
Yeah. So I think that there's many different things at play here. I do think that a lot of the Cessna aircraft that go up and come down, I just think is just inexperience by the pilots.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
You can have
This one was the door that blew off. I would argue that this pilot looks like or blew off or wouldn't close.
Yeah.
I would argue that this pilot, I mean, he found a parking lot and somehow got, you know, avoided any housing or it was right by a nursing home. He could have crashed into an apartment building. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I think I agree with you in some of these things that maybe it's a pilot situation. In this one, you know, I mean, obviously we'll find out.
Yeah.
But in this one, it looks to me like this pilot immediately when he realized it, he radios back.
Mm-hmm.
He then realizes he can't make it.
Yeah.
He's only like a minute away from the, you know, he turned it around. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. But to me, I just think about the fact of the Northeast crash that happened here that was deadly. In that one, we found out that the black box the voice recorder, they said not only was it not working, but it wasn't working for years.
Right.
So I think it's a maintenance issue.
Yeah. Well, how does it go? How do they go years with it not working and then realize that? Like how often do these things get,
used?
Tuned up?
Well, that's just it. Like
when there are crashes.
Yeah. Like for any of the rest of us, if you're driving and your sticker is expired or you didn't get your inspection,
right.
Even in Philadelphia, if you're parked and you don't have whatever, all your inspection stuff, it's a $100 ticket.
Yeah.
Right? Where's the inspection? They should have to have their inspection sticker.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
Does the black box have to be checked on an annual basis?
Apparently they're not doing it.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
John on the YouTube chat says, I guess having a light and alarm will be next on airplane doors if they're not fully closed. That's right. When your door's not fully closed. Beep, beep.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, your seatbelt's not on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah.
So we've got that going on. Hey, heads up for this. This is a PennDOT alert because PennDOT giving out the heads up starting this morning that the bridge rehab project, this is Lower Marion Township on the main line. So for all you commuters, construction on the City Avenue Bridge starting this morning, $22.5 million project to fix the 114-year-old concrete arch bridge, the huge bridge there. But the crews are repairing the sidewalks, replacing the utility lines, adding stormwater management systems. So the construction is set to continue through April 7th. So get ready for all those detours.
Yeah. Speaking of construction, have you noticed the little obstruction in front of our garage to get in nowadays with little barrier?
Yeah, they're doing it.
You know, I'm sorry, Concrete Charlie, but, you know, there's other human beings trying to get into other buildings to work. Do you have to make it that difficult for us? Couldn't you move it over a little bit? Have you noticed how difficult and a pain in the ass that is? Because you got to go too far to the left, and then you got to, and especially if you have a bigger vehicle, you don't have much room to get it back on track to go up our ramp here on the right hand side. They never think about the radio people. It's a huge radio company.
Yeah, I was just going to say, boy, you're really sounding like a common man of the people as you're saying that your parking garage that you get for free here in Philadelphia is lightly obstructed. Yes, Nick Hale, man of the people.
Yeah, well, and then all the construction vehicles and the dump trucks when we get out of here at 10 o'clock that are already blocking off the street and you can't see oncoming traffic. And I'm like, hey, you want to back up? And then they look at me like I have five heads. Dude, if you were a regular vehicle, you would have gotten a ticket by now.
I wonder, people. I think there are people, so they're probably listening. So I hope they block you at 10 o'clock.
I can see them right now across the window. I should just open up the window and just either jump, which is always my first inclination, or yell.
So the House budget, as the House budget deal is working to get her done by the deadline this week, one of the big stories that we're watching as far as the budget, Trump tariffs, how that impacts us locally. And just a heads up, as locally, Congressman and Representative Brendan Boyle, he was on, I know that he recently was on MSNBC, and he's saying, oh, the Trump slump. Talking about a partial shutdown. We're headed for a shutdown within the government. Everything's shutting down. So just a local politician going on MSNBC talking about the economy and the budget. So just to put that on your radar this morning as we look to everything happening. We are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America, from organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls. Natural Lawn, making sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Choose Natural Lawn. Get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. Thank you, Natural Lawn of America. How appropriate, because spring-like weather today for sure. We are in the 60s and beautiful weather all this week. Nothing below 60 that I'm seeing as I look at the 10-day outlook. A lot of bright sunshine, but we're in the mid-60s through much of this week. What a gorgeous sunny week. I think it offsets the fact that maybe you're a little off kilter because of daylight saving time, and we lost that hour.
Is that really that much of an issue? Because I woke up yesterday. I didn't. If you would have told me I lost an hour, I wouldn't have known. I think you talk about
you're lucky.
Stocker giving me the business because of my car having to be slightly moved around, an obstruction to get into the garage. And that hour really threw your whole day off yesterday?
Me, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But how many hours of sleep did you get in total?
I don't know.
Eight, nine? Right?
Seven, eight, I guess.
I don't know. I woke up yesterday. It was 8:15. I didn't know if it was 9:15 or 7:15. I just felt like a normal day.
Really?
Yeah. And it was beautiful, by the way, yesterday. 5:30 last night, around dinner time, looked outside, looked like the sun was going to be up for another good 2-3 hours. What a great feeling that was.
It was beautiful. I will admit, because we had huge High School Musical stuff going on with my son, the great Mummers Gala. Congratulations to all of you, and thanks for coming out. That was Saturday night. Got home. Then we watched the light heavyweight main event.
Oh, yeah?
And this was Alex Pereira. He, took it, right? He won it.
You watching the UFC?
Yeah, watching the UFC. Joe Rogan calling it against Magomed Ankalaev.
Which, by the way, too, Rogan's very good in that setting. Like, he actually comes to life and has a little juice. He always just sounds dead as hell on his podcast. It's a different setting.
How about the fact that Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate were there?
I know.
Yeah. By the way, we're
under investigation.
It's a good thing Sean Farish is not a full-time employee, or you'd have to give him a lecture.
What is happening?
He is obsessed with the Tate story.
I can't. Like, he should be. These guys are bad dudes.
I get it.
They're bad dudes, and like, they're being embraced online, and it's weird.
It's because online culture is toxic.
It's a tribal cesspool
of what I love and everything I hate.
But it's not just online. Like, he was on Patrick Bet-David's podcast. He's with Dana White. Like, he's being embraced.
I don't understand the obsession to even chat with him. Forget embracing him, because I don't think anybody should embrace a scumbag like that. I don't understand. I mean, I guess if you're a I don't know, maybe I'm way off here. I should realize that he, you know, Andrew Tate creates headlines, so he's content. I guess I get it, but I personally have no interest in talking to that guy.
So you'd rather talk about the Tate brothers and the fact that Ankalaev ended Pereira's UFC reign?
I'd rather talk about that, actually, yes.
I think
the
it's
guy you talked about.
I think it's odd that Dana White is embracing him. I do. I'm a Dana White fan, but
he's going to give him a contract to fight.
He's way wrong on this. He's way wrong on this.
Celebrity fight?
Is he giving it? I mean, can anybody buy a ticket?
It's not that Dana White. Phil, play 14. It's not buying a ticket. He went there and he embraced him and says, "Yo, bro, they were at galas together. Like it's a thing. Watch this, bro." This is embracing. It's not just buying a ticket. So this is him as a guest.
Let me
with
ask
Dana
you this,
White,
because again, I don't really follow the Tate story. I'm not overly interested in it. But let me ask you.
It's funny. Can I just say this? And this is not you, Nick. So don't. You know,
yeah.
I'm just very worked up over this.
Mm-hmm.
So sex trafficking, when it's Epstein and when it's Diddy and all this, that's the end of the world. But sex trafficking with this guy, it's like, well, you know,
yeah.
he's a bro. He voted for Trump, so he's cool.
Well,
I
know that story about the sex trafficking, and we've talked about that with Sean. But my question is this: what did he do to garner attention before this happened? Was he a somebody before he got caught up in whatever he's? Was he guilty, or is he? Is it
no,
still alleged?
I mean, I reported it in news. Ron DeSantis is governor. It's in Florida. They're now probing these guys into this. And
yeah,
so
no,
there's a legit investigation into this. Right. But when did this happen?
Was this
Saturday night?
I'm just this weekend. Because I don't know anything about this guy. I'm trying to get somebody listen to what I'm actually asking for here and just answer what I'm asking. Did he get convicted of something, or is he an alleged pedophile sexual trafficker?
Yes.
Because I know we use the word alleged on here, like we're all going to go to jail if we don't.
Well, so, there's an ongoing trial. So I've reported this, Nicholas, if you listen to me.
Right.
I've reported it.
So
there's an ongoing trial in another country.
Yes.
But in this country, in Florida now,
got it.
There is a probe.
Oh, okay.
So two separate things.
So then second question, does anybody know what Andrew Tate was? Was he a famous person? Was he a podcaster, an athlete?
He was.
Or is he just a random schmuck that got?
He's like he was like social media famous.
Okay. So he's one of these internet sensations.
100%.
Okay, so he's a Kardashian.
And it's funny, you know, you talk about water cooler talk. You mentioned that with sports radio and all that stuff. Like, this is not even water cooler talk. The only people who know this guy exists or knows this story at all are people who live their lives online.
So Farish and others are fighting the fight against embracing this guy into the MAGA community. But most, from what I'm gathering from you, Stocker, is most people that are pro-Trump don't have an issue with this guy. Is that's the vibe?
The
narrative?
I think online, the like Twitter online is split with this guy. Some are just completely appalled. Like if you look at like Dana Lesh, her brother, like Sean, there was a bunch of people. What's that guy's name? Ian Chung or whatever it is.
Yeah, these guys.
They were all like, I can't believe Dana White embraced these guys coming to UFC.
Yeah.
Because they're bad. I mean, he was on a podcast the other day where he was, you know, talking about wiping his cell phone clean and stuff because, like, he's just they're bad guys, and the fact that they're being embraced is sickening.
Yeah, and this guy thinks he's untouchable is the vibe I get. Like, I can do anything I want and pull off anything. Yeah,
you know, it was just
he's ex-MMA.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
Okay. I was wondering, because I'm not trying to play a devil's advocate here. Like, I don't know really anything about Andrew Tate, and even what I've learned about him doesn't move the needle for me to talk about. But, I mean, I know some people. Like, that's the thing I always try to focus on, too, is this something that just lives on social media? Or if I bring it up on the radio, does the audience really, you know?
He was on Big Brother originally. And that he was a Big Brother, but this is mostly in the UK.
Okay.
Was the kickboxer.
Well, then if he does have the MMA background, then I understand you might not like it. I might not like it. If I'm Dana White, not sure that I probably... but then again, you think about what Dana White permits in the UFC under the mantra of free speech. I mean, he's got that other nut job that's always talking and ridiculing the LGBTQ community, questioning their life, but legitimately saying words we can't say because of the FCC on radio.
That's...
Was it Strickland?
Yeah, that's different, though.
Okay.
Saying something, you know, like if Andrew Tate just had a bunch of unpopular opinions and said, you know, horrible things, I would...
Right.
No harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the stuff... And by the way, the video... Like, you have to see some of these videos of him, like, beating the crap out of young women.
Yeah.
Like, he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Scumbag.
Okay, yeah. Here is the Tate brothers' lawyer, Joseph McBride, releasing a statement saying, ripping into the Florida Attorney General, says that James Uthmeyer threw ethics law out the window when he publicly took a side in an ongoing Florida lawsuit where Andrew and Tristan Tate are suing a Florida woman for orchestrating what they call a sophisticated plot to use sex as a weapon to ruin their lives.
Mm.
So they were first arrested in Romania. So there's a separate trial going on. And I've reported all this in news, by the way. This all started in 2022. And so there's a separate trial about human trafficking, rape, all of that in the UK. But now this is a newer Florida thing. They deny everything. So I will just say for those in whoever's in the social media or Dana White or whatever, these individuals are involved in a civil lawsuit in Florida. They are convicted of nothing.
Okay.
There's no conviction. So Greg is saying, you know, watch out who you associate with and look at the videos. Technically, they're convicted of nothing. So, I just have to say this as your local, like, I'm just like your attorney here, just protecting everything.
Thank you.
They're not convicted of anything.
All right. So to recap, we've got social media influencer / marginal MMA talent, certified verified scumbag on video whipping women, but yet in a court, it's still murky and undecided.
Yeah.
No conviction. And innocent until proven otherwise.
And because the laws in Romania are very different than they are here. So that plays into it, too.
Yeah.
And it's important to know they were born, you know, these brothers were born in this country, right? And
I do remember
mom and dad divorced.
Chicago, right?
Yes. And mom and dad divorced. D.C., Chicago. Mom and dad divorced. Mom's from the U.K. They go back to the U.K.
Yep.
Dual citizenship. They're not from Romania. So what Greg Stocker's bringing up is, why are they doing so much in Romania?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're... So these are not like foreign guys. They're American born.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it. Look, if they're Trump supporters, and God bless them, you do support whoever you want. I would, see, here's the thing, too, with Dana White. Dana White's another guy with FU money, so he obviously doesn't care. We've heard countless sound bites of Dana White. He couldn't care less about what you think of, you know, what he says, what he embraces, who he campaigns with, who he employs and gives free speech privileges to with his company. I'm just a little surprised that this has taken off the way it has. But then again, it's a social media thing. I don't know how many people in our audience probably care about Andrew Tate or know him, but it is interesting that you pick and choose your battles.
But
right?
Everybody was so obsessed with the Epstein thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is different. This is different somehow.
Does he have?
Like, come on.
Well. Here's the question. I think the obsession.
You can't pick and choose, guys.
The obsession with Epstein is that blacklist, that black book that he has allegedly. We want to know the names. I don't know that Tate has a list out there of, you know,
sex trafficking.
Oh yes, of course. Right, but Andrew Tate's never been linked to an island where Hollywood elitists, politicians, and the 1% globalists fly to vacation on his piece of property. That's where the interest with Epstein comes from, because we want to snuff out all these disgusting human beings in all of our institutions. I think that's where the curiosity is with Epstein.
I would just say with all of this, to Greg's point, that as the investigation continues, watch for that support to dry up. I mean, if this now again, they're claiming they have an attorney. These guys have a lot of money.
Sure,
they're pushing back. They're saying this is like a Me Too wrongful thing. They didn't do anything. I don't know what they're claiming about those horrifying videos online.
I don't know how you get around that.
Are they alleging that that's like phony? that that was acting. Like, I don't really know what the, what is the explanation?
Everything's phony these days.
Just, I mean, I agree with you, Greg. I do agree with Greg.
Just listen to what Ron DeSantis has said. Listen to what Byron Donalds has said. Like it's he and the support in the Trump administration is all Rick Grenell. And I have no idea what Rick Grenell is thinking. This is ridiculous for the Trump administration to have anything to do with these guys, anything at all. Guilty or not, just the stench of them.
Right.
Like, Rick Grenell needs to have his head examined.
Yeah, that's a fair point, especially when you've got 78 million that support you. You don't really need to associate yourself with Andrew Tate. I'd send him and Laura Loomer to Epstein Island. Tell them to go away. All right, 855-839-1210. I want to get to this Trump Jr. story. I found this to be fascinating. If it wasn't for the Gavin Newsom pivot over the weekend, I might have ran with this as a big take. We'll get to this on the other side. Donald Trump Jr. in 2028. Very interesting story. Three sources and then a rebuttal from Trump Jr. We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America. When choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results that is also safer for you, your family, and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of loved ones. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners that are switching to Natural Lawn's safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get a free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
You've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for nearly a decade now. If you're thinking about redoing your siding, right now is the perfect time. If you notice any, maybe some wear and tear or molding, buckling, or peeling that indicates your home is being exposed to the elements, many people don't realize siding is not just for curb appeal. It also acts as a protective barrier against any kind of harsh weather for all seasons. So whether you want fiber cement siding or vinyl siding, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding carries only the best brands, including, of course, my fave, James Hardy, as well as CertainTeed Local. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding always goes the extra mile to work with you on the different styles and options that best fits your home, and they complete every project with such care and precision. So experience the Chapman difference today. Just call. You can text. They're local. They're like-minded. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Donald Trump Jr. considering 2028 run for president, according to sources. They write the following. When President Donald Trump sat down for an interview with Fox News last month, anchor Brett Baer asked what would have been a softball question. Do you view Vice President J.D. Vance as your successor and the Republican nominee in 2028? And if you recall, Trump, and we talked about this, we played this clip on the show. Trump said no, but he's very capable. I mean, I don't think that's it, you know. I think you have a lot of very capable people so far. I think he's doing a fantastic job. It's too early. We're just getting started. Okay, no problem with that. And now, according to Mediaite, three, as they say, high-level sources told Mediaite that Donald Trump Jr., the eldest son of Trump, is strongly and seriously considering a run for president in 2028. Quote, Don has been the most politically involved of all the Trump kids and has always kept the lanes open for a presidential run. One White House insider and close friend of the Trump family said, quote, he is a valued voice of his father and a real possibility to be a contender in 2028. Now, media goes on to write that Trump Jr. has his own loyal following, a successful show on Rumble, and a strong presence on social media with more than 14.6 million followers on X, serves as a key advisor to his father. He was credited with advocating for Trump to choose Vance as his running mate and hit the campaign trail aggressively in the run-up to 2024. Quote, Don Jr. has long been a key voice in influencing cabinet picks, policy, and potential endorsements, the other insider said. Quote, he has also consistently been the most active on the campaign trail for the president, as well as endorsing the candidates. Now, Trump Jr. comes out on Friday after this story, and you will, Phil, if you want to throw it up on YouTube, I'll try to clean up some of the language, but Trump Jr. denies considering this run and this report from Mediaite, saying, I accurately predicted that my buddy JD would be an instant power player in national GOP politics. So your theory is that I worked my ass off to help him get the VP nomination because I want to run for president in 2028. Are you effing R-word? I'm actually glad you're printing this BS, though, because at least now the rest of the press corps will see how S-y your sources are and how easily you're played by them. Congrats, moron. All right, so he's, you know, using some of the language that we can't use on the radio. But, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Trump, I've never heard Trump use the R-word, but Donald Trump Jr. comes out and says that. Now, a couple of things on this. And I was thinking about this last night, and I wrote a bunch of things down. Is he his father? Let's just start right at the top. Is he his father? The answer is no. Is he capable? Could he serve? Could he do the job adequately? I think the answer is yes. I don't think you need to be some rocket scientist to be the president of the United States. Does he want it? I don't know that answer. Does MAGA want it? Possibly to probably, I would say. Does the GOP want it? I would say possibly, but probably less inclined. Now, I'm not interested, and this is just my personal view, I'm not interested in family legacies and family dynasties. I was tired of the Bushes. I got tired of the Clintons. I got tired of the Obamas. I'm sick of the Bidens. The people, I am sick of senators and Congress and people that have been in office since 1991. I love term limits. I have a short shelf life. People wear out with me. My expiration is a lot shorter on people than most people. But here's the question that you have to ask yourself. Can he win people over with charm? Does he have that trait like his dad does? I don't know. I've only ever met him one time. More on that in a minute. Does he have the X factor, the it factor to him? Perhaps. I mean, he's got a following. But the two questions, those are really the two questions I would have. Now, right off the top, I would have J.D. If we're talking about earlier in the show, Democrats with their pivot, what does 2028 look? Is Gavin Newsom the front runner just because now all of a sudden he says men shouldn't be in women's sports? I would have J.D. Vance at the top of my list in 2028. Ron DeSantis certainly on the short list. Trump Jr. probably way towards the bottom. And again, I only met him once. It was at Pints in Politics. He was very open and nice and gracious, doing the autograph signing with the book. Behind closed doors, I didn't have any conversation with him. He was kind of on his phone by himself before he went out on the stage. Take that for what it's worth. Not an indictment against him. I mean, maybe he was just focusing on whatever he was focusing on for his speech and the presentation he was doing in front of all of our listeners. I have no idea. But to say that he's not capable, I think, is wrong. But I'm not sure that I want it. And I don't really know if the rest of Trump supporters would want it. Do you want this family legacy? It is the party of Trump. Make no mistake about it. But does he really want to get involved? I mean, remember this. His father got shot. And based on this quote here, he's clearly a guy that's got balls just like his old man. He'll say what is ever on his mind, and he don't give a damn. And I like that. But does he, after the last 9 years with what his dad went through, do you really think he would want to go through that? And ultimately, do we buy the story here? Three high-level sources? I don't know who these people are. This could be totally made up. Trump Jr. obviously shooting it down saying, dude, I busted my ass to make J.D. Vance the heir apparent. You think I'm going to step over him 3 years from now? Not going to happen. Dawn, your thoughts on this. Did you get an email? Are you one of the sources? Are you the insider in the family here? What do you think of this?
No, I mean, I think, and like you said, when we met Don Jr., what struck me about him was he was backstage, just, and then, you know, he kind of engaged in a conversation with us backstage about what was going on locally. But, you know, I would say look at his life. And the fact that does he have a great life? Yes, of course, businessman and children. Two things that strike me about him. When he was in line locally And that was the great, you know, there was a Dom Giordano Talk Radio 1210 WPHT event. So he's backstage. It's his entire day. And then he meets all of us, but he signed all those books, met everybody, was gracious. The difference I would say with Trump is that you have to engage at that level as a politician to get the votes out. You have to have a certain personality set. This is just my opinion, but in just watching different people. And so you have to have that tolerance level where you can stand and go to this event, then you fly to another event, then you get no sleep and you fly over here, you fly. And every event, it's as if you are, this is a fresh day and you are shaking hands with someone and into them and asking those questions. And nobody's better at this than Donald J. than our president right now. He's so good at it.
I was just going to say that. Does he have the patience to go through that?
I mean, it takes a lot. And I, how many people actually have that? Have, you know what I'm saying?
To take.
So with Don Jr., what I see with him is a loyal son who has watched his dad go through all of this crud. It is ridiculous. I do believe the story that Don Jr. saw in J.D. Vance, something that a lot of people, I mean, did not see in J.D. Vance. And what I've seen in J.D. Vance is incredible. The way that he can handle the media, first and foremost, is better than, I'm going to say, anybody I've seen in my career.
That's a great
and that's
point.
Saying a lot.
Yes. And
right?
If you think about it, and I give credit to Trump Jr. for saying, no, J.D. needs to be the guy. I did not see that in J.D. Vance initially.
Nobody did.
I've admittedly said, dude, this guy's impressive. He's even-keeled. He's mild-mannered. He's eloquent. He takes fastballs without letting his emotions get the best of him. But to that point, and maybe this is, you know, and obviously 3 years from now, who knows? I don't see that in Trump Jr. I see a lot of Trump 2015 in Trump Jr., whereas if you think that the media went after Trump, and now imagine what they would do if Donald Trump Jr. comes in acting like acting like Dana White with the, I'll say whatever the hell's on my mind and you're going to just have to deal with it. That's the way I think Trump Jr. probably would operate to the mainstream media and the Democrats in the political spectrum. And I don't know that's going to work. Because I mean, I think one of the reasons, many reasons why Trump's numbers are up and he's more popular than ever is he's kind of mellowed out a little bit. It's not every day he's out there just blasting the fake news media and things like that. You know, he's been a more laid back CEO type style.
Well, because he can, because
right.
He's the
well, he's got a handpicked
champion.
Well, but you know? Now he also knows the lay of the land yeah. better and has his handpicked people, yep. the people that he wants and
trust.
He feels like he can trust. So
and
he can be more hands off, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know about this story.
The other thing I'm going to say real quick about Don Jr. that was a side to him I've never seen before. All the Trumps, and we've heard all the stories that President Trump is somebody who says, you know, don't cry until. He doesn't eat on TV, even though he loves food, and don't cry, don't have a breakdown or cry or show too much emotion publicly. With Don Jr., the one moment, and I loved him for this moment, when it was the Republican National Convention, and his daughter, Kai, who really is a show stealer, right?
Yeah, good
golfer. And she came out there as a 17-year-old kid. That's not easy. And she came out there and wow, she just nailed it. Gave an incredible speech that any grown up would be proud of. And she's a teenage kid. This is her national debut on a huge national stage.
Mm-hmm.
She was natural. She was what a wonderful public speaker. And when he came back, he was fighting back the tears. He was that proud dad. He was all verklempt and filled up. And I loved him for that moment, but that shows you a side of him that he was that proud dad. Was he worried about her? She insisted on doing it. Absolutely. That also shows me something. And so I think that, you know, he is this guy who loves his kids. He's lived this public life. By the way, went through the public painful divorce of his parents back in the day. And then 1 year almost to the day, the year before the assassination attempt on his dad, his mom, who was healthy and very young for her age, if you will, has a horrible fall and tragically dies. I don't see Don Jr. running, but I think he plays a very important role.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on that conversation as we welcome in Harry Mays on a Monday morning. Hello, Harry.
What's going on? How's everybody doing?
Everything is good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Big weekend.
Yes, it was. By the way, your thoughts quickly on Trump Jr. for 2028. You buying that story?
Well, it's not that I'm not buying the story. I have no interest in him being the candidate.
So he would not be at the top of your list if we're putting a Republican primary pecking order for 4 years from now?
No. Okay. And neither would DeSantis.
Wow,
I think DeSantis was exposed.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
I really do. He did not wow me in the least. Now, he's a great governor.
Yeah.
But I not.
So you'd be all
I'm
in JD. Advance? You're JD?
I'm on JD, yeah.
Okay. Very, yeah. Very good.
And how about the Democrats normalizing Fetterman? I mean, that's really what's happened here.
Well, that too. And then also you've got guys like Gavin Newsom that are making this pivot now saying, yeah. Men and women's sports, it is unfair. It's ridiculous, actually, the more I think about it.
Right. He's just started to think about it. He's a slime ball.
Yes, indeed. I can tell Harry's got his fastball ready. So let's get down to it. 749.
What's on the cut sheet?
Let's stick right there with J.D. Vance, shall we? Vice President J.D. Vance clashed with protesters on the streets of Cincinnati in a heated debate about Ukraine over the weekend. So he was going somewhere with his kid, and there was a bunch of protesters that kind of, I guess, surrounded him. I'm not sure. And they were yelling at him over Ukraine. We have just a little bit of it. It's a little hard to hear, but get on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210 WPHC. If you want to see all the videos that go with these audio clips that we're playing, roll this film.
No one is articulated.
No respect. Sell him out.
Respect. I disagree. I think that what we're doing is we're actually forcing a diplomatic settlement. If you talk to Joe Biden,
nobody in Ukraine benefits.
Can I ask a question? Pause it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
One question.
Yeah.
How does the Secret Service allow these people to get so close to him, especially when he's with his 3-year-old daughter?
That's a great question.
That's
in
a
public,
great question.
Out on the street, looks like he's in front of a little restaurant or something. And, of course, from what I've just gathered, now I'm seeing this for the first time. So in 19 seconds, he has been very soft-spoken. And, of course, it's a 64-year-old with gray hair and a raging female that seems to be yelling.
All repeating the same thing.
Yep.
This was near his home in the Walnut Hill neighborhood in Philadelphia. And so he's...
Philadelphia?
Or did I say Philadelphia?
Cincinnati.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Philadelphia-based. It was near Cincinnati. This happened in Ohio near his home. Sorry.
Okay.
So I'm so Philadelphia-brained. Sorry about that.
So he's in Ohio for the weekend, I'm assuming.
So he lives in the Walnut Hills neighborhood
of
Ohio outside Cincinnati.
Okay.
He was out for a walk with his 3-year-old daughter. Secret Service was there, and these protesters...
But I get Secret Service was there.
Mm-hmm.
How are they allowing them to get so close to him?
How do they know somebody doesn't have a gun?
Unless he just walked up in the middle of it, which is his right to do, and I would actually give him more credit if he did that. Maybe not with your 3-year-old, but...
No, he made a comment that if you're chasing a 3-year-old as part of your political protest, you're an S person.
So he tweeted out, "Today while walking my 3-year-old daughter, a group of Slava Ukraini protesters followed us around and shouted as my daughter grew increasingly anxious and scared. I decided to speak with the protesters in the hopes that I could trade a few minutes of conversation for them leaving my toddler alone."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toddler off limits. But these people are just raging lunatics.
So they have
no bottom, these people.
So they were following him around.
Yeah.
And he decided to try and defuse the situation to speak with them.
Okay.
So he tried to have the conversation.
Yep.
They were being jerks and they had their agenda. And now you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will get close to him again.
Hopefully.
That's what I mean. If I'm right now, he's going to say, all right, I tried. we're done.
Yeah.
Secret Service, they don't get close.
But you know what? Vance is a lot like he's a lot like Vivek. Remember in the campaign leading up to the election in the fall, when Vivek was a part of the Trump administration, in theory, leading up to his Doge debut that lasted all of 9 seconds. You remember how many times he would be yelled at a rally, and then instead of, shouting him down, he would allow them to voice their point, and then he'd hit him with the counterpoint, and it was just very conversational.
Can I just tell you something? Look back at the video. The guy behind him and the guy in front of him wearing the vest who's talking, his fingers are like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these protesters, you need to understand, they are dead. They make the wrong move, and that's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I he's completely surrounded. There are three, at least four people surrounding him that, but you can see they're poised like a cobra. But if I'm Secret Service, I'm going to say, sir, all right, you tried. I know you're new at this. I think this is the last time, to your point about this, that we'll
anybody
ever
gets this close.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
I
hope so.
I have a major, and I don't know all the facts in this, so I'm just speaking as I'm hearing this right now. I have a major issue with the Secret Service protection with all of this.
Yes.
Because he doesn't just, when you're the Vice President of the United States and you're in a local town, that you're local to, you don't just say, hey, you know what, me and my 3-year-old are going to go pop into to Charlie's Delicatessen and get a salami sandwich.
Right.
That doesn't happen. You need to plan it out. There needs mm-hmm. to be routes taken. There, like, Secret Service does like a sweep before you even get there.
All the windows have been evaluated in the fourth floor across the street, and there's no sniper.
It's all very calculated, especially with this administration. So you're telling me that these protesters just spontaneously gathered, or were they already there?
They were tipped off.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
Thank you, Harry.
But no, not tipped off. It's not like a big secret.
Yeah.
They have to, first of all, there are road closures in that area. It's much like, when Trump's in Mar-a-Lago Trump's in Bedminster. So when roads are closed off, where his home is and what section he lives in, right?
Yeah.
And so all that stuff. So when they start closing the roads and you figure, all right, he's coming home. And so they're walking around the neighborhood. There were still roads shut down. I just think this is a little, to me personally, this is a little bit of a learning curve for the vice president.
Yeah, that's fair.
This administration wants to be transparent. Trump, my God, is constantly in front of the media. He invites everybody in the Oval. I think for J.D. Vance, they want to show that they're like normal. And they went home to Ohio, to the Walnut Hills neighborhood. But I think at this point they're realizing, nah, you're also putting Secret Service in danger, because you see all these Secret Service agents.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we criticize Biden all the time constantly. Look, remember that?
And twofold, Trump's transparent just naturally. We saw that the first time. But it's also probably even a more concerted effort to be even more transparent, because the prior administration was the least transparent administration perhaps in the history of modern day American politics.
Let's play a little bit more of this.
Yes.
A separate country, and I don't think our investment in that country can go on indefinitely. I understand the industry.
Settle. Look at that mental patient with the Statue of Liberty hat on.
Won't settle.
Exactly. And the lady with purple hair underneath the gray hair.
These women couldn't find Ukraine on a map.
I know.
Give me a break.
I will ask this question. How many Secret Service agents did J.D. Vance have? That's what I would like to know.
I see at least four. So there's Fox 9, to the local station there, the Fox station, had a bit of a better angle. And I love the Secret Service guy. I mean, his fingers... You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, make my day. Like, he's got the vest. He's talking. He's like, all right, watch the guy. Watch the old lady and the guy in the... And you can see them all. So they're there. They're protecting the vice president. But these, and I guess maybe they had vetted the people. There's a TV station. There's a TV camera there.
Yep. So just to that point, Dawn,
one of the protesters, Anne Henry, she's probably one of those blue-haired women there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
She supplied the video, thank you, to WCPO and disputed Vance's account of the incident, telling WCPO that she and several other demonstrators spontaneously passed Vance en route to a nearby street where the larger protest was being held. No one was chasing him, she said.
Did JD threaten her? Did they feel threatened by the Secret Service? Were they under attack?
Too much masculinity.
It's too much. It's too toxic. Yes. I can't take it.
I mean, this lady, from her perspective, maybe she wasn't part of it, but the truth of the matter is, you can see the people crowding and surrounding him and shouting at him. The video
again. Where's Secret Service?
They're around him, Greg.
We'll start capping people.
No, I mean they're. And Secret Service gets closer and closer to him. It looks like J.D. Vance. Does he have a stroller?
I don't know.
A stroller? So
yeah, I'm not sure.
So that's a stroller.
Very good.
Yeah.
So that I can see. These people were not just, do they live there, really? Because if I were a reporter and they're saying that, I was like, well, can I, really, where do you live?
Yeah.
You can look up where you live. Because these people, they know that he's in the vicinity. They know the vice president is there. And they're being S-heads is what they're being.
Yeah.
They're going after a guy with his little kid. And so this won't happen again. I'm just saying. Because this is, first of all, let's just put it this way, too. When it happens over the weekend, and we heard this from the Biden people on the down low that, you know, this stinks for Secret Service when you have to go home. They have to provide full security. Now you're going to go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? The Secret Service guys who already work all the overtime, now they got to go to your home. They don't get to go to their, we'd be with their families.
Yeah, stay inside like Greg Stocker.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey,
I like that little Liberty headdress. Where can you get one of those?
Remember though, Trump
Bale, you should wear one of those on the show.
No, I shouldn't. Trump said no tax on overtime. Remember that. Yeah. So these Secret Service agents were like, yeah, I'll work a double.
The big discussion over the weekend with the Sunday shows, Trump did a sit-down interview with Maria Bartiromo, and Howard Lutnick was on Meet the Press, was the, you know, a lot of forecasters are like, there's a 40% chance they're saying of a recession coming.
Isn't it funny that they're saying the R word, Greg? Isn't it funny that we never heard the R word in the last administration? Isn't that funny?
I thought the economy was great. Everything I told me about the stock market, Kale, look at the stock market.
Well, I mean, there's two different thoughts here, is that Trump does not say that there won't be a recession. Howard Lutnick comes out and says there won't be a recession.
Yeah.
But Maria Bartiromo asked him about it. Roll it.
And I want to ask you about Ukraine and the blow up the other day with Zelensky. Let me stay on the economy for a moment, because there are rising worries about a slowdown. You've got the Atlanta Federal Reserve saying we're going to have a contraction in the first quarter. Look, I know that you inherited a mess, and you said that the other night.
I've only been here, Gina,
but for a while. Are you expecting a recession this year?
I hate to predict things like that. There is a period of transition because what we're doing is very big.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing wealth back to America.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. And there are always periods of, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. But I think it should be great for us. I mean, I think it should be great. It's going to be great ultimately for the farmer. You know, don't forget,
There you go.
So I gave the numbers on, I think it was Friday's show, that with some of these tariffs, especially after that April 2nd date kicks in, that the average American could end up having to spend on a per household basis $830 more per year. Now, if that's a short-term punishment, if you will, for long-term gain, I can handle that. But I don't like his lack of, I mean, this is a guy who's willing to predict anything. And he was very tepid there in his response from Mrs. Hannity, who had the nerve to say, I know you inherited the... I love all the precursors.
Nick, watch the whole interview. She's a pretty tough interview. She's the toughest interview that...
You don't like her?
No.
No, I
she's pretty sharp.
I agree with
she's not sharp. I agree with
Harry and Dawn. I think she did a good job with him.
That's not easy. And she gets, you know, she's better than that. And she gets her question in there.
Yeah.
And nobody else could
What's
get away with that.
What's your problem with Maria?
Just people on Fox that always kiss his ass. You're an interviewer. Ask the question.
She did.
We don't need a precursor of, I know you inherited problems.
Because that's what he's going to say.
They should go back and watch the Kale and Company interview with Dawn and Nick from May 13th. We had a little time limit of nine minutes. But no, the thing is with the recession, I could see that happening. I could totally see that happening. I could see the housing market crashing. I've said for 2 years that I didn't believe a word the administration prior was telling us about the economy. Not everybody plays the stock market. Not everybody's invested in mutual funds and all these other things. That's like a first world problem. The everyday person that lives paycheck to paycheck, yeah, I think they do believe the economy is very, very...
Volatile.
Volatile, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my view.
Howard Lutnick was on with, I think, Kristen Welker. And he comes right on and says there's going to be no recession.
This guy.
Roll it.
Anybody who bets against Donald Trump, it's like the same people who thought Donald Trump wasn't a winner a year ago. Donald Trump is a winner. He's going to win for the American people. That's just the way it's going to be. There's going to be no recession in America. What there's going to be is global tariffs are going to come down because President Trump has said, you want to charge us 100%? We're going to charge you 100%. And you know what they say? They say, no, don't charge us 100%. We'll bring ours down. We'll unleash America out to the world, grow our economy in a way we've never grown before. You are going to see over the next 2 years the greatest set of growth coming from America as Americans. You saw it, $1.3 trillion of new investment coming in America. Think of all those jobs. And remember, each trillion of investment in America is 1% of growth GDP. So Donald Trump is bringing growth to America. I would never bet on recession. No chance.
Wow.
I will say this. I don't know how much of this is Trump and unleashing American energy and drill, baby, drill, but I have noticed the three gas stations that I frequent on a routine basis based on price, all within about a mile of each other, are down to 10 to 12 cents a gallon. So if that's, based on what's happening with the new administration, great job. Keep it up. That being said, now I got to come back and whack Lutnick over the head here with my my whack-a-mole tool. This guy,
he's too much of a cheerleader.
I feel like there's no bigger cheerleader than Lutnick.
You guys, who is Howard Lutnick? What's his background?
I don't know. Is he a Ronco infomercial sales rep?
He's a businessman.
I get that. But, man, it's just, I feel like I'm being peddled something on late night television for four payments of $79.95. This can be yours. And we'll throw in the second set, too. That's the vibe he gives me. I love his energy. But, I mean, my God. And I understand what his role is. He's not going to come up there and sit there and say anything negative. But let's see. That's the only thing.
It better happen.
And here's why it has to happen, Harry. Because he's delivered on the border. He's going to deliver it with the wars. We know it's all going to come to an end soon.
This would be the knockout punch.
The only thing the Democrats have left is waiting for a recession to pin it on Trump. And if that doesn't happen, they've got nothing. They're on the wrong side of every other issue.
First of all, I will say this. I think Howard Lutnick, local ties, obviously, Cantor Fitzgerald, you can look him up. I mean, this is not just any successful businessman. This is one of the most successful business people in the country. And I think this is the kind of talent that this administration is able to attract. Number two, I'm going to say nobody in the media in the last administration, the same thing happens. Go through all the, I can take you through decades. The liberal media never will say the R word unless it's a Republican incoming or unless he's running. I can take it through.
Okay.
I'll show you.
I remember
George W. Bush.
6 months before Biden, before the election, I believe there was recession talks.
Only because the Democrats at that point were transitioning to Kamala and they felt that they wanted to get rid of him. That was the only time because they got the talking point memo. You're right. That was the only time, Greg, because they got the memo. But my bigger point on this with the economy, with Lutnick, is that the jobs report came out, obviously, on Friday, and 151,000 jobs that were added. Some say not as many as they hoped. The difference is, and this is important, that what we're learning now is which jobs are being created. These are private sector jobs. What DOGE and what this administration and their numbers are revealing is that the Biden administration was basically fluffing things up, if you will.
There was a redaction of numbers every month.
Well, they not just that. They were hiring, doing this massive hiring of federal workers.
Right.
That's part of the reason that DOGE right now is getting rid of people who were more recently hired, mm-hmm. because they were trying to inflate all the numbers. Oh, look at the jobs numbers. They never said, oh, yeah, these are federal jobs. So they were inflating those numbers of federal workers. Part of the reason that DOGE is now taking that down, saying this was crazy that they went on this spending spree, basically, and just one of the ways that they were falsely inflating numbers
yep.
to get reelected.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Predictions here. Do we think there's going to be a recession this year?
What constitutes an official yeah. recession? Does somebody have to, I mean, do you just shout, recession's officially underway? Is there a metric? I mean, whatever that is.
Yes, there's a metric for it. I don't know what it is.
I just need
my egg prices to go down. I buy a lot of eggs.
Yeah? Oh, I've got an egg.
High protein?
I've got an egg story yes. for you in a moment.
Well,
I'll answer the question. I will say no recession, but I think we are not only very close right now, but I think once we get through Q2 and into quarter three, if we haven't officially hit it by the beginning of quarter three, I think we'll be okay. And by the way, you want the egg story?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is an amazing egg story. You talk about egg prices. We go, first of all, my wife said the girls are having a sleepover Saturday night. So they
at your house?
At my house.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Nick.
Yes. Yeah. All 600 square feet that I currently have.
And how many kids?
Too many. Four.
Why didn't you come over to my house?
I was just going to say.
You didn't offer.
Kale, I know we don't hang out outside the office, but if that ever happens again, you're more than welcome to come to Casa de Stalker.
All right, now I finally get to see the Stalker palatial estate.
There's the invite.
Yes, they're saying it's bigger than Bill Murray's place out on the West Coast. So my daughters have their two friends over, Grace and Reese. So they sleep over the whole bit. We get up Sunday morning. We go grocery shopping. We're at Aldi. Thanks to Dawn Stenslin for the Aldi recommendation. It's a lifesaver. And it's $5.97 for a carton of eggs. And it says limit two. Mm-hmm. And my wife says, grab eggs. I go, I'm fine. And she goes, no, they're for the girls. I'm like, what do you mean for the girls? She goes, well, I'm going to make breakfast for all of them when I get. I said, so you're going to feed the neighborhood when eggs are $5.97 yeah. a carton. My head almost exploded.
Are they organic eggs?
No, they're all the knockoff Bobo eggs. They're probably the lowest egg you can
eat those.
I don't know what they are, but
make pancakes.
$5.97. Now she wants to feed everybody. Now all of a sudden we're all country buffet.
Kale, I pay you enough. You can effing afford eggs.
No, don't make them eggs. Make them pancakes.
She did. She made eggs and pancakes, yeah. Dawn.
Don't make eggs and pancakes.
It's lucky
pancakes.
I got a great egg, bacon, and toast sandwich with Swiss cheese. If I didn't get that, I would have been miserable.
That's $6 that can't go towards the initiation fee at his golf club.
Yeah, that's correct. bigger things here, Harry.
By the way, Harry, Dawn is the kale whisperer. So if you ever need Kale to do something, just tell Dawn. She'll tell him, and he'll do it.
I will not be used in this manner. I will not be used.
That is 100% right. Dawn is like, Nick, shop at Aldi. He shops at Aldi. Nick.
I give Nick, him honest, good advice.
Go get your heart checked.
Nick, go get a physical. He gets a physical.
That's
Nick,
right.
Nick, you might want to get Paxlovid first. Yes. For COVID, he goes and gets probably.
I am trying to live as long as Dawn's father, not my father.
We're all trying to live.
If it's COVID, it's Paxlovid.
I see what you did there. All right, let's keep going with the Maria Bartiromo interview, even though Nick doesn't like it. I forget what cut did I ask?
He wanted to make jokes at Nick, and you didn't.
No, I just we.
What is happening?
We got off on a tangent, and I completely forgot. Trump actually comes out and says this, you know, with all the DOGE cuts, that he's not going to cut defense spending. I mean, you want to talk where the budget is bloated?
Right.
Defense spending is it.
Yes.
Cut 10.
weapon. You said you wanted to do the Golden Dome. You've got a lot of ideas for America. But then earlier you said you wanted to cut $1 trillion in defense spending, right?
I didn't say I was.
You're not going to. So I was like, which is it? Are you cutting defense spending or are you building us up?
I never said defense spending.
Okay, because I think you were talking about denuclearization.
Correct.
And that's where the cutting of the spending came in.
I never said cut. No, it's not in these days. I'd love to cut defense spending, but not now. Because you have China, you have Russia, you have a lot of problems out there. No.
In fact,
what I have said is we spend a lot of money on nuclear missiles, nuclear weapons. The level of destruction is beyond anything you can even imagine. It's just bad that everybody has to spend all this money on something that if it's used, it's probably the end of the world.
I mean, I'm sure you can differentiate between defense spending versus embracing war. Trump obviously doesn't want to go to war. He wants peace. But on this line of defense spending, did you guys happen to see the comment from Hegseth late in the week last week about China and the threat of China and going to war with China? Which is a kind of an interesting pivot. And granted, I only saw a little bit of it, so it could be taken out of context. But first of all, that's the last thing I think any of us would want is a war with China.
We're not going to war with China.
I know we're not, but like
they need us. They need us too much. That's why
those comments were like, ooh.
We are gluttons. We're the gluttons of the world. That's probably the sin of this is the fact that we're the gluttons of the world. And as Greg says, he wants it and he wants it now delivered to his house.
Yep.
That's what probably will save America, that we're the world's consumer.
Do you think, though, you need to have a defense budget as big as you do with somebody like Trump in office where people know not to mess with us?
Guys, I'm telling you, we cannot have a doge and talk seriously about cutting government waste if we're not talking about cutting the defense budget.
Well,
because it is effing bloated.
So where do you draw the line? What's the, and of course we don't have the numbers in front of us, but you know, you've got the southern border already basically shored up. I mean, nobody's coming across anymore. Nobody, I think, is dumb enough to try to strong arm Trump from a military, you know, a war state. Like with Biden, we had spy balloons and all this other nonsense going on. Russia obviously is somewhat of an ally with Trump to the point of getting peace with Ukraine. They're not going to mess with us. If we're spending $10 on defense budget stuff with Trump, can we get away with spending $5 knowing that Trump rules with an iron fist and nobody's dumb enough to mess with us while saving
money? But how can you rule
doge?
With an iron fist if you don't invest in your military?
Well, I mean,
because isn't this based on what's happened in the previous administration where they kind of, you know, didn't invest in the military? Isn't he sort of correcting that?
No, I think they've always invested in the military. I think what they are cutting as looking at the Pentagon as far as some of those bloat, the job bloat. I think they are looking at that. But as far as the spending right now, you just heard him say to Maria Bartiromo, right now they can't touch it as they're negotiating with Iran. They're trying to denuke Iran. They've got war in, you know, Russia, Ukraine. They've got the Middle East. So,
see,
you know,
I'm not as worried about the military defense stuff as I am the recruitment numbers. Now, hopefully those recruitment numbers have started
to change.
They're
bouncing back, aren't they?
I've heard reports of that with Hegseth. Amazing. You actually get back to merit-based decision-making and people actually want to join the military. Surprise, surprise.
I mean, over the weekend, they were working on this. It's 99 pages of legislation, and what they're working on is maintaining.
Yep.
So they'll do a maintenance funding plan. But, you know, as far as this, they have to get something done before this Friday. Okay. So they have to even get their maintenance plan approved as they go through the negotiation.
But even if Doge came in and stripped some of the military funding, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden we are weak as far as weaponry goes and the best technology and things like that. Just because you strip some of the funding doesn't mean all of a sudden that we're going to get steamrolled by a third world country if they attacked us.
Just for the record, I'll just reading from this, just according to, you know, the budget proposal, here's the number. That this budget proposal by Republicans includes an additional $8 billion in defense money in an apparent bid to ease national security hawks' concerns, while non-defense spending that Congress yearly appropriates would decrease by about $13 billion.
So we're going to spend $8 billion more?
Well, there's $6 billion added for health care for veterans.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. I just want to give you the numbers.
I just think it's rich to talk about cutting here and cutting there when the real bloat, the real leviathan of bloat is somewhere that we're like, well, we can't touch that.
Is that number public? Do we know what that
leviathan of bloat?
Thank
you. Wow.
How about that?
Was that your cover band in high school?
It was.
That sounds like
Stocker.
An album in Almquist Library.
It was my Iron Maiden cover band.
Leviathan of Bloat.
We are Leviathan of Bloat. Okay. Cut 16 here, Phil.
By the way, for what it's worth, quick search. In 2023, the United States spent $820 billion on defense, which accounted for 13% of the federal budget.
So what's another 8?
It's unbelievable.
So are you guys surprised that it's only 13%? I thought that number might be a little higher, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's okay because we're cutting, you know, $10 million here and $30 million there. Okay. Two people within DHS have been identified for leaking intel on ICE raids and operations. This was the Fox News report on Friday.
16, send them to Gitmo.
This segment sponsored by Leviathan Nutrition.
Stocker cover band from 1999.
Reduce the blow.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says that they have identified the leakers who exposed the locations of upcoming immigrations and custom enforcement raids. This is a big deal. And our Bill Malugin has got the details. Bill.
Great hair.
Yeah, John, good afternoon to you. Just a short time ago, DHS officials confirmed to Fox News.
Wood.
They say they have identified two people within DHS who they say they have caught leaking information about ICE operations to different targets and then put those operations in jeopardy. We got a video from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem herself making this announcement, was just sent over to us. Take a look.
Everyone, I wanted to give you a quick update. We have identified two leakers of information here at the Department of Homeland Security who have been telling individuals about our operations and putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy. We plan to prosecute these two individuals and hold them accountable for what they've done.
And take them to the back of the shed and shoot them in the face like I did with my dog.
Treasonous moles is what they are.
Gitmo.
Yes. Gitmo their ass. Doge Gitmo. Their ass. Waterboard them. Do whatever you got to do.
Does that constitute treason, though? I mean, it sounds like it to me.
I mean, at very minimum, Tom Holman would say it's a impediment, it's obstruction of justice. I mean, that's Kristi Noem handling it eloquently.
Right.
I'd like to get a soundbite of Tom Holman on this story.
Put him in a room with
spitting nails.
Holman.
Yeah.
Also, she can lighten up on the makeup a little bit. She just
it's getting a little out of control.
Much like Bill Malusian,
would like the Joker. So she's been giving polygraph tests to DHS employees, which I'm going to start doing that with you guys. I love that.
Oh, that would be incredible. Yeah. You got to put it on YouTube.
100%.
100%. Used as content.
I have never failed a polygraph.
Rich Zioli, are you really injured, or is this just an excuse for you to work at home so much? Let's see what the polygraph says.
Well, you'd have to get the doctors from Cooper.
Yeah.
He was hospitalized.
Put the doctors under oath.
Shame.
Don Stensland, do you really guzzle? I
guzzle.
Yeah. I mean Trump information.
Trumpaholic.
Four.
That I am.
My fader's down.
Your fader?
Got to find a way to get a
He needs a fluffer for his
Believe
fader.
Me, you will guzzle.
So she was on Face the Nation. Kristi Noem was on Face the Nation on Sunday, yesterday, and was asked about giving polygraph tests. This is what she said. That's my fault.
Within DHS, and you're going to prosecute them. Back on February 9th, you tweeted, "The FBI is so corrupt. We'll work with any and every agency to stop leaks." Were you wrong then to blame the FBI if the leaks were from within DHS?
No, I think there's leakers all over throughout this government. I think that everybody needs to be. I think these in DHS specifically, these two, were leaking our enforcement operations that we had planned and were going to conduct in several cities and expose law enforcement to vulnerabilities, to those ops being jeopardized, to where their lives would be in danger. So they will be prosecuted, and they could face up to 10 years in federal prison because they did that. Anyone who is leaking information outside of of how something is planned for the safety of those law enforcement officers needs to be held accountable for that.
And you're going to continue these polygraphing
absolutely
of employees?
Amen.
The authorities that I have under the Department of
yep.
Homeland Security are broad
absolutely.
And extensive, and I plan to use every single one of them to make sure
yep.
that we're following the law, that we are following the procedures in place to keep people safe, and that we're making sure we're following through on what President Trump has promised, that he's going to make America.
I would go a step further. I would go a step further. Water torture. Water torture.
I mean,
yeah, you'll find leakers.
How can you work for ICE and be ratting out your goal? Like, you know, letting these people. Remember the story for the station out in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Where they were reporting ICE whereabouts that people were being tipped off from radio and media companies?
Yep.
Yet you have somebody that it's their mission statement for ICE is to do exactly what Tom Homan wants, and they're tipping off their hand.
Yep.
You can't, you yeah. cannot punish those people enough, in my opinion.
I got to ask Dawn, though, is all her hair real?
No.
Those are extensions.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Got extensions going on.
God.
But to the mic people, like, they do the mic check. You know, the poor audio person is like, oh, because
yeah,
there's
yeah.
one strand of hair
mm-hmm.
on the lavalier mic. They put it in the middle.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
Yeah. It's a bad job.
I think that's a problem with all the. There's a lot of hair going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
You
yeah.
could take off about 6 inches.
Look, I'm all for this. Like, find leakers, do whatever methods you need to do. And to Harry's point, is it treason?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is.
So we yeah. have leakers in HHS. We have leakers within the FBI. By the way, has Pam Bondi come out and said anything about Epstein in the last 10 days? Where did that story go?
She's a tease.
She's
what is she doing?
Yeah, they're hoping that we forget about
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean. But luckily, us here on this program, we will not forget.
We hold everybody accountable.
That's right. Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation tried to hit Kristi Noem with the separating families.
Yeah, the heartstrings.
The heartstrings. Oh. We're separating families. Six.
The administration has revived this policy of detaining migrant families, parents with children, in ICE detention centers. Bush did it, Obama did it, Biden did not. Have you seen these Texas facilities where children are being held with their parents? Are you comfortable with it personally?
We've got detention facilities across the country, and there's specific ones that are built specifically for families if they are detained. But remember, everybody has an option. They have an option to be here legally or illegally, and they can self-deport as well. We've set up a system and a website where people who are here illegally right now can register and they can choose to go home on their own and keep their families united.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the kids do have a choice. If they have parents, they make a choice to keep their families together if they want to or not. If parents make a decision to leave their children behind, then that's a choice that they made as a family. And we need to remember that when Americans break the law and they have consequences mm-hmm. or face a situation, they're separated from their families
yeah.
too. I don't believe
yeah.
that.
Stop it right there. Stop it right there.
Yeah.
How many times have I brought up the story of if Kohl's is closed at 9 o'clock and I decide to enter illegally and get arrested, I don't get to tell the cops, please don't separate me from my twin daughters. Nobody cares. You broke
right.
the law. So you came here illegally and you have the option to self-deport. You know what Tom Homan should say, what Trump should say, what Noam should say? They should all say this. If you're a good parent and you're here illegally, and you have the option to self-deport, which you do, do your child a favor and go now. Boom.
Yeah, solid answer.
Boom. None of this heartstring crap.
By the way, John G on the YouTube chat says if Greg was ruler over the world, there would be about a 1K population.
Yes, between firing between the firing squads and the waterboarding,
oh,
you would wipe out a whole universe.
Guys, we didn't get to it on Friday, but we're going to get to it today. The firing squad.
Well, it happened, right?
It happened on Friday night. Somebody, it's amazing. They strapped him to a chair.
South Carolina.
Put a hood on his head and blew his brains out.
Yeah.
We're gonna discuss that on the other side. But first.
If only we could put Lindsey Graham in the firing squad now, speaking of South Carolina.
First, speaking of what you just said, Kale, about these people are breaking law, according to Jasmine Crockett, it's not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally.
Okay.
Hmm.
Proving how dumb she really is.
Okay. Roll it.
Okay.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime. crime, which is why they're so frustrated, because they really want our local law enforcement to go out and round up people when they could be looking out for the murderers and the sexual abusers as well as the robbers. They want them to go and round people up on civil accusations. And so
they are rounding up.
Entering the country illegally is not a crime.
Right, yeah. Right. That's the Crockett Constitution.
Does she know the definition of the word illegal?
You'd like to think so. She's got a law degree from Houston University somehow, some way.
University of Houston?
Yeah, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, I read that on Friday. The amount of dumb people that got through law school when I couldn't really bothers me.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Me.
You lasted about a month.
Yeah, Sonny Hostin, Jasmine Crockett, all these dunces, they've got law degrees, and I tapped out in 90 days at night school. I'm a coward. And I'm stupid.
Yeah.
By the way, is she somebody who would stand for the honor of Lake and Riley?
No. Mm. She didn't stand up and cheer for the kid with the brain surgery.
13 of them.
DJ Daniels.
DJ.
Yeah. So
Lake and Riley or Jocelyn and Gary.
And then how about her sitting there saying that, like, Trump and Homan, that they're going after just regular, quote, innocent citizens? No, there's been MS-13 members rounded up, cartels, drugs, killers, rapists. All the stuff that Trump said was happening as they flooded the border. They're rounding them up.
By the way, we have to break here, but when we come back, who is going to be somebody that you would not think will be at the White House to break bread at the end of the month? Who will that be? Plus, did a doctor says that this new bird flu strain has lab origins?
Oh, geez, figure. Oh, we're messing around with gain of function again, are we?
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll get to all that on the other side.
All right. Kale and Company continues with Harry Mays. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group with Porsche and their newly expanded maintenance and reconditioning services, now offering care for classic Porsche in addition to general maintenance. Schedule an appointment online today at PorscheDelaware.com. We're back after this. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I want you to visualize it. Yeah, your new kitchen. Just, can you see it? Kitchen Magic has just launched its brand new innovative online kitchen visualizer. Easily experiment with all the styles. This is so much fun. All the styles, all the colors, the layouts online, and then preview your perfect space before your free design consultation even begins. So Kitchen Magic, their design experts will then refine the details to bring your vision to life. Family owned for 45 years. They know their stuff. They know what they're doing. These are the pros, and this is their skill set. Kitchen Magic has been crafting over 60,000 beautiful American-made kitchens. So just visit KitchenMagic.com right now. Create the different kitchen looks and enjoy 40% off installation. Yeah, KitchenMagic.com. Do this. KitchenMagic.com. Take advantage of a full 40% off installation. You are going to love it. KitchenMagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Taking Bill Maher to the White House for dinner.
What? No way.
This guy has done nothing but talk smack about the president since day one. But he's a comedian, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can have conversations with him. You know, if you don't get into Trump, because I'm like, I love him.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't. I'm like, let's talk about other things. We can find common ground. He's actually, you know, more reasonable than a lot of people on the right would think.
Especially
the last maybe 4 years or whatever. So I said to him, I was doing his podcast, and I said, if I can hook you guys up, this, that, and the other. And trust me, there's a lot more people deserving at that table, you know, for dinner. So it's a big deal to me to, you know, bring him there and even have the president be like, yeah, do it. Let's do it. I go, man, what would it say to this country? Let's start at the top where you know, very public figures, him, television comedian, you president of the free world. You know, we could just break bread, have some laughs, take a picture and be like, hey, you know, we don't agree on everything, but we got along. Does that start to send a message to people, or do they just think I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
You know, does Bill Maher look soft for going? Does a Trump look weak? Like, I'm like, man, I think we just got to start somewhere like there and be like, look, man, we just had dinner. We had some laughs. We had fun. Yeah. Like, maybe call that family member that you got into it over politics,
yeah,
or that person you know in, at the school that you know you don't like to talk to anymore that you used to have a coffee with in the morning. Maybe just get back with him and be like, look, man, it's okay. Everybody calm down a little bit.
So that's pretty interesting. Two things. One, I think, first of all, Trump would be willing to sit down with any of his media detractors and have a conversation. And yeah, I mean, for God's sakes, and I know they had a history in the past, but yeah, he welcomed in Morning Joe, you know, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski to Mar-a-Lago after
they used to be best friends.
Right. So yeah. I think he would be willing to do it. I'm not sure that those on the other end of an invitation would accept. Do I think Bill Maher would? Yeah,
absolutely.
I think Bill Maher would. Do you think anybody from The View would take up that offer?
No.
Do you think Keith Olbermann would take up that offer?
I don't think Trump wants to eat with any of the shrews anyway.
Well, and I guess my big point, too, is I think there's a lot of people on the left, whether they genuinely hate him on their platform or they do it because it was once the cool thing to do and now it's not. It's their thing. It's their shtick. It's their grift. They don't want to alienate their audience.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they would be dimed out for being a fraud or be ridiculed, and they don't have thick enough skin to say, no, it's the president of the United States. You would take the same offer as well.
No, I totally agree with you. But I think Maher would do it, and I think Trump should do it. I think that would be great content.
I do, too.
Maher's come around. He's come around. He's funny.
I'd actually, forget Mar-a-Lago, I'd actually like to see Trump go on the Club Random podcast. I mean, you'd have Maher on the left drinking a tequila, and Trump sitting there with a Diet Coke.
What does Trump benefit from it?
Yeah, it's a great question.
How does he benefit? I see how Maher benefits.
Well, Trump said, I mean, on Tuesday night at the joint address to Congress, Democrats, get behind me and support me and unite.
Right.
You know, unification's a two-way street, not a one-way street.
I think it's symbolic, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Talking to the other side.
If I'm Trump, I have nothing to lose. I'm the I won the popular vote. So he's not going to alienate anybody. I mean, that would be could you imagine him on any? I'd actually like to see Trump. Did Trump do the Rogan podcast? I don't remember if he did it.
What's that?
Did Trump do Rogan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say.
You remember it.
It's just
you have a brain injury?
Yeah. It's 3 hours, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to point this out, Nick. Settings. You said earlier that you didn't have an effect from daylight saving time. Yes. There it was.
No, that's high school football.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not daylight saving time.
Yeah. I don't even say that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to see Trump in any of those settings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, could you imagine if he actually got the invite to go on The View? Remember, he was once beloved by them, too.
The Shrew.
So it's no different than Mika and Joe. Well, they used to love him. Well, so did The View. I mean, we could pull up the clips of Joy Behar back in the day. Come here, Donald. Give me a big kiss.
Well, looking this up, Bill Maher, so this is what Trump's going to do. He's going to look up the ratings, and actually the ratings have 24, almost 25 times higher audience than the average show in the U.S.
Who does
Maher? It ranks in the top percentile of talk shows. So it's highly rated.
Yeah.
That's what Trump's going to look at.
Right.
He's just going to go, what are his.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Trump's going to go, well, what do I get out of the deal? Right. So he's going to look at the ratings.
Well, but let's not gloss over this other thing that Kid Rock said. Kid Rock's got that kind of stroke to bring anybody he wants to Mar-a-Lago.
That doesn't surprise me.
I'd love to see Trump squash Kid Rock. Hey, this is my pad.
Didn't you run Obama that by me do first? Something similar to this when he had the beer with the guy?
Yeah, the beer summit.
Remember that?
The beer summit.
The beer summit.
With
the
cop and the other guy that broke the law.
Okay.
But the truth is on this.
It was Rachel. According to Obama. Sorry, Don.
Mm.
To your point about Trump, I think this is a little bit of a conversation. So they're mulling it over, and Kid Rock says, what about this? What about this? And then Trump says, well, why don't you just say that? Because this is what Trump does. He loves for somebody to just toss it up in a conversation. Then we all hash it out. They look at it. It's like their little poll that they look at and take a pulse on it.
It's a trial balloon.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah.
Trial balloon.
So do you guys remember during the State of the Union speech, there wasn't a State of the Union speech, Trump calling out Biden's EPA giving Stacey Abrams $2 billion to help upgrade people's homes, you know, so they can be more environmentally friendly and lower their bills.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of people saw that. Like, that can't be true. Stacey Abrams was on MSNBC on Friday night. And she said, yeah, no, it was. It's true. I got $2 billion to buy people new home appliances to reduce electric bills. That was part of the Biden administration's EPA plan.
Unbelievable.
Roll this.
In 2023 and 2024, I led a program called Vitalizing DeSoto. We worked in a tiny town in South Georgia to demonstrate that by replacing energy inefficient appliances with efficient appliances, you can lower your cost. And in fact, we accomplished that. For 75% of the community, they got appliances that are lowering their bills right now.
Wow.
We had one woman who saw her electric bill cut in half from $180 to $98. That's what we delivered. And based on that program, a coalition of organizations, famous organizations, came together and said to the EPA, if we can do this here, we can do this for millions more Americans. Let us invest the money of America in lowering the cost for Americans. And the EPA said, okay, great, go for it.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable.
Chris Hayes is still on TV.
I'm trying to figure out why Stacey Abrams is on TV, because she's a two-time election loser. She's a two-time election denier. And when we talk about all these eco-friendly environment, this goes back to, remember, Biden spent, what, $8 billion on electric car chargers across the country, and they installed, I think, 7 charging ports nationwide, mm-hmm. some of which didn't work. And then, of course, you got what she's talking about there. I mean... Yeah. Did they admit it? Did they come out and not fact check Trump because it was true? Because they love to do that when he says something that they think is not true.
Well, I love the fact that she doubles down on it, because I remember the Washington Post last week was like fact checking Trump on claiming this, and then she comes out and goes, "Yep, it's true." So I hope that they print a retraction. But I will say this: I'd love to see the numbers she's talking about. I don't know what number she's talking about.
Yeah, how do you get your electric bill to be cut in half unless you just turn the switch off?
Well, did she say electric bill?
No,
she said So which utility? Because I'm just saying that maybe your water bill went down slightly, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are they looking at the total? Because I guarantee you my dishwasher running a minimum of 3 hours.
It's insane.
And my wash machine, minimum like light load, is 121 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
You cannot tell me. So maybe they're talking about on one point a water bill. Maybe they're talking about an electric bill. Look at the total package, and you tell me that that's less energy in total used. No way.
I'd like to wash all my dishes.
Harry, I was just going to ask.
You're running all that water.
Yeah.
Well, you could just, I mean, quick rinse them as far as getting them initially wet, scrub them with the pad and the soap, and then minimize your usage of water on versus water off. I might do that for a month and just do everything dishes by hand and compare it to my previous month bill just to see what I can save and see if it's really worth it. Because my dishwasher sucks.
You hand wash every dish?
I'll use the dishwasher once a month just so the seals don't crack.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you live alone.
No, I don't. No. He's been instructed to do the dishes.
You get takeout.
He's being instructed.
There's no way.
Dawn, he's being instructed to do the dishes. Trust me.
Yeah.
You get
my kitchen spotless 24/7.
Yeah. Harry's a clean freak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are there children in this picture?
No, there's no children.
No, he's smart.
No.
All right.
No. So it's just you and your wife.
And you guys get takeout.
We don't. My wife cooks a lot.
How dare you, Dawn?
No, I'm impressed. I'm amazed.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell my wife that. She was a Dawn fan until today.
No, I'm impressed here. That's amazing.
Does anybody else do the dishes by hand?
Tracy on the YouTube chat says, hand wash. I do all without a dishwasher.
Our dishwasher
sucks.
There you
go, Tracy.
When we started to do our own Doge last summer to get all of our bills paid off, we even downgraded from like the Cascade little packs that you put in the dishwasher to the Bobo ones. And the Bobo ones are terrible.
No, don't get the packets. Get the liquid, and you can get it cheap. the liquid that you don't use those horrible packet little things.
Oh, so
that,
you buy the jug of the soap
the
stuff?
The huge jug of like the gel stuff works fantastic.
I got to tell you guys, we are like we must be in the minority, Dawn, because half of the YouTube chat is weighing in. They all wash their dishes by hand.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Robot Speed, Tracy, Susie loves Jeb. They all like it's crazy.
Now, sometimes because our dishwasher is awful, after a big meal where there's all sorts of stuff, we will hand wash it to get it, you know, semi clean, and then let the dishwasher finish it off. Which is probably not financially smart.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil Almquist.
And what's he saying?
Hold that thought, Dawn.
Oh, we got a poll.
There's a poll up on the YouTube chat. Do you wash your dishes by hand? 28 votes right now. I'm going to put no.
It's about 50-50.
Yeah, 50. Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
See, what I do
I
is...
I pounded the like button, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Harry.
Did you do... Wow.
Everybody hit the like button. Hit the like button. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. And if you want to vote on this poll. Sorry,
but if you're doing it by hand, make sure that you just fill the sink while you're rinsing them. And then fill it. Because you don't want just the water to run with the drain open.
Dawn, with the laundry, do you have the ability to? Or do you, in fact, utilize the old process of sticking your laundry out back on the clothesline? In the spring and summer?
In the summer, I do.
Yeah. My grandparents used to do that all the time.
I got to ask.
I hang it up inside.
I got to ask a question. Kale, you wash your dishes by hand?
Sometimes. Yes, a decent amount.
All right. Is it an age thing? Like, does the older generation wash their dishes by hand because that's just what they've always done? And the younger generation?
Well, the younger generation always wants convenience.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, dishwashers aren't anything new. Hey, how long has the dishwasher been around for? You know I'm going to get this wrong.
Since 1997,
Since the dishwasher was another term for my mom.
Oh, that's very sexist of you.
See, you gained all those points.
And then you just... I'm going to guess a dishwasher became a thing in the 50s or 60s?
Probably in the 60s.
60s, yeah, maybe?
Probably.
If I had to guess. 60s. Yeah. 1997.
Yeah.
So, honestly, do you wash your dishes by hand? Yes, 59%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
Now, it also depends on the dish. After my wife makes one of those really big roasts or a meatloaf on the big tray, and there's all the leftover
grease. A lot of grease.
I'm a girly guy.
Well, you got to take paper towels and clean that all out and throw it away.
You know, I do them by hand after we eat pizza or something, but I don't want to mess with a meatloaf tray. I leave that to the wife.
Oh, wow.
I'm being honest. Kristen, will you handle that?
Look at Harry, though, with the paper towel. I'm impressed.
Or I go,
wow.
I'm impressed.
Daughter should be washing the dishes by now.
It'll create more of an issue and more of a mess. There'll be water all over the counter. The bread will be soaked. No, not yet.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Harry there, Kale. Like, not that if you had sons, it would be the same thing. But, like, Dawn's son should be washing dishes.
Oh, at that point, yeah.
Right. But they're very good. They take the dishes off. Usually I'll have something in the sink already going with some sudsy warm water.
Yeah.
And they'll take the dishes out. But they kind of just do, like, the rinse as far as in the sink with the water already in it. So you're not wasting all the water.
But I also negotiate as well. Like, I'll offer to, do the... Because the trap...
Oh, you're doing deals?
I take the... I'm always cutting a deal. It's the art of the deal, Harry. It's the art of the deal.
I was an indentured servant until I was 18.
Well, I have to take out the trash 3 times a day because my kids eat like horses. So I'll offer to do the trash if she does the meatloaf tray.
Wow,
interesting.
See, that's where we put our foot down. At the boys have to take out they do the trash.
Well, forget the boys for a second. Does Larry do anything?
Larry, here's the thing. Honest
dishes,
to God,
laundry, vacuum, garbage.
It's
anything?
Lair Bear.
Does Lair Bear do anything?
Okay. First of all, he makes me my coffee in the morning, which is very nice.
That is a very nice gesture.
And number one, number two, he empties the dishwasher. He will empty it.
And so I do that too.
He puts it away.
Well, he puts most of it away, or he puts it on the countertop. But that's
who loads it though? Because there's an art to loading a dishwasher.
My wife is a loader. She can fit 8 pounds into a 6 pound bag. Mm-hmm. She's a professional smusher.
Mine too. She's amazing at it. Like I start to load the dishwasher, and she's like, no,
get out of the way.
Get away.
Yeah. We can fit 10 more things in here. I'm like, really?
And by the way, that counts as trying.
Mm-hmm. It does. See, I won't even, because I want them to be in power, so I won't even say, no, I'll let them do it. And then I quietly, like, try to not make noise so they don't hear it. And, like, you know what I mean, strategically, like, an impact we're in. Mm-hmm. But I like the effort matters.
And guys, YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to vote on this. It's 60-40. Do you wash your dishes by hand?
That's amazing.
60-40.
Wow.
91 LSXer says, do these people not use air conditioning? that's a great question.
But see, I have an excuse because, like, what would Larry do then? You know what I mean? So it's good because that's his thing. He undoes the dishwasher.
But you mentioned he doesn't necessarily put them away in the cabinet or the drawers, but he puts them on the counter. My wife does that after she hand washes sometimes, where she'll have the towel on the counter. And there are a couple of pans and big bowls. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't we just finish the process and put them where they belong? This is like, you know, completing the job 75% of the way. My parents used to do that. I'd be like, there'd be like random mixing bowls and the garlic crusher, the garlic press that was used for whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute. Just finish the job. You're almost there.
Yeah. I wash them, dry them, and put them away.
Wow. Look at you.
But I'm well trained.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
I'm impressed.
All right, we never got to the Harry, do you have to leave? Because if you have to leave, it's cool. But
no.
I want to get to the firing squad, and I want to get to this doctor that says that this bird flu might have lab origins.
God. Mm.
But Kale, I think we need to break.
Yeah, we should. I'm going to go do my own gain of function research, and then we will be back for the fourth and final hour coming up next. Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, Greg, Harry Mays, talking about dishes and all the things that matter to American families out there on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
From dishes to your lawn, you think about a green, lush lawn, beautiful weather in the 60s. We're coming into springtime. Just in time for those Easter egg hunts. When choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it just make sense that you hire a company which is going to provide better results and is also safer for your family, for your kids, for your pets? That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. I really chose them years ago, and what a great choice. Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products that keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From the organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Don't just take my word for it. You can join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services. Start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Just schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. I love this. You get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, plus the free seeding, call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED. I love how every time they come out, there's a little report that they put. They tell you what they've treated. So it's really personalized. I love that, too. Your lawn deserves the best. Call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.